Larry is 58 years old, and you stayed in the hospital 10 days. You did not get out of that bed. They did not even raise the bed up to eat. You had to turn on your side and eat.
That's so odd.
Well, it is weird. You'd think at least they would have rolled the bed up.
Yeah, and they would have encouraged you to walk around.
You did not get out of that bed, and then in 10 days they say, get up, get dressed, and go home.
Yeah.
Well, I just didn't have my balance. I kept running into the cupboards when I got to my mother's.
Oh, that's typical. I mean, if you're flat and then you get up, you get dizzy.
Well, and then Gail is 5 years younger than Larry, and I was in the hospital about 8 days with her, but I sat up and I did get up.
Oh, so it changed.
And that's short time, really, but there was an old nurse there, a Catholic nun, and she bawled me. I was doing what the doctor told me I could, and she bawled me out. She said, now remember, you've got three little kids to take care of, and she did not approve of letting women out, but...
It's funny how it swings back and forth.
Well, to one extreme or another.
Yeah, because now you just have to get up and go. And I think that's not good.
I think they need a little rest.
Sure.
When I was a kid, a friend of mine's cousin had twin babies. And with twin babies, Dr. Otten was new in town. And he only kept her in bed 9 days. For twins, she should have been in bed twice as long.
And waited on and taken care of. Yeah. Right. Well, did you ever go to the St. Joseph Hospital?
That's where I went for all four of my babies.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. And well, when did that close the hospital?
I don't know. We talked to my daughter was married by a Catholic priest in a Protestant church. And my husband did ask him about the hospital closing, and he said that must have been politics, that it should never have closed, really.
Oh, what kind of politics?
I don't know, just the hospital politics.
So it was a Catholic hospital?
It was a Catholic hospital.
So then they built it later.
Well, I don't really remember dates.
Well, but
this might have been being built. This might have been one reason they closed theirs.
So that's politics. Like this is...
Well, it could have been.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people somewhere. I've got a book on this hospital up here, but I have no idea where it is.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
Uh-huh. So, when was your last baby born?
1953.
And you were in this hospital?
I was still in that hospital.
So I wonder what happened to all those Catholic nuns and all those...
I don't know. In Baker, a friend of mine is a Catholic, and she had two Catholic nuns are her best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's very many nuns in Baker anymore. They're just...
There's some. There's a few.
Is there?
Yeah. But not, you know.
Well, these two little ladies... keep a nursing home. I mean, they don't have it, but they go there and they do a lot of things there besides just having services, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, and was there a Catholic school, too?
Years and years and years ago. I just remember there on the same grounds, there was a big old building. I can just vaguely kind of remember a big building, and it was a Catholic school.
So there must have been a pretty big Catholic community then.
It could have been.
Yeah.
To have a school, I don't have any idea how many were in that school or anything.
Well, so do you go to a church?
I go to Presbyterian.
Oh, yeah. I used to go there. A long time ago.
Here in LeGrand?
And you've always gone there?
Yeah.
And that church has always been there just the way it is?
My mother was... Well, yeah, basically the church, the outside of it hasn't really changed. Well, they did buy build the Sunday school wing onto it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's about it. My mother was married in the manse at the Presbyterian Church.
Oh,
there was a, well, it was, it's where the Sunday school wing is now.
Oh.
And it was just a little house. And they came to town and were married in it. When I was old, 4 or 5, why, that's where they had the, they had Sunday school in this manse. The minister wasn't living there then. And,
where
and,
did he live?
Well, they had a house about next to the Christian church, across the alley from the Christian church.
Oh, yeah.
That the Presbyterians had bought. And that's where the minister
lived. So that Presbyterian church must be pretty old then.
Yes.
Were you married there?
Yes.
In the church?
And my sisters were both married there.
But how come your mom wasn't married in the church?
Well, I have no idea. If they had a mass there, they surely had a church of some kind there. But they lived at Sunday school, Somerville. And they probably came to town in a buggy. And
uh-huh.
They.
What do you think that was? About.
Oh dear.
I'm not good at
this either. Well, about 1917.
Oh, First World War time.
I think that's when it was. And then my sister was born a year later. I think that's when they were married. Daddy was rejected for the army.
How come?
It had something to do with his teeth. I don't know if he'd had false teeth at that time or if he needed them. His teeth all pulled, but that's what I always thought anyway. But,
well, that's probably good.
Well, you come in clear from Somerville. You know, that there's, now that my mother isn't here anymore, there are all these questions I'd like to ask her.
Like, what would you like to ask her?
Oh, I'd like to ask her all about her wedding day.
Yeah.
They, for a honeymoon, they went up Mount Emily and camped out and went huckleberrying.
Oh, they did?
They were married the 5th of September, and huckleberries were still going up there.
Wow. So they went way to the top then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go huckleberry picking?
Oh, that's a Baker tradition, really.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we... When we were kids, my dad was, lost his job when I was 8, and he didn't get back on until I was 18.
On the railroad?
On the railroad. And so he worked for the milkman to pay for our milk bill, and he worked for the garbage, or the grocery man to pay groceries. And when we went to huckleberry and in the summer then, us kids, you picked, you didn't play around, and Mama would can 60 and 70 quarts of the thing.
60 or 70?
She canned a lot of huckleberries.
Wow, and you went, like,
we went around town, basically.
Oh, yeah.
In that Glass Hill up past there, that's a...
So you'd come in from Somerville?
Well, no, we lived in town after I was born. They moved to town just before I was born. I was born on Portland Street, across from Payless.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
At home?
At home.
Oh. So what's the story about that? Is there any family stories?
Well, I don't know. They, Daddy had worked for my grandfather out there, and I imagine it was just like anything else, that there wasn't enough for, well, and he had a brother working there too, and Daddy was married, so he probably thought, well, it's time for him to quit, and he got his job on the railroad. By that time, Mama had Bethel, and then 18 months later, Mama had twins at home.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is she little like you?
My mother was made, she was really tall. She was about 5'1". I don't know. She
5'1"? Oh, so she wasn't really tall.
No, no. To me, she was.
How tall are you?
I never did quite make 4'9".
Really?
Yeah. I was most of my life I was 4'8" and 7/8 inches tall, and of course you're pushing all the time to see if you can't get to the 9, but I never did.
So she was 5'1".
And all her brothers and sisters were 5'3" or something, and Daddy's family, they were all short too.
How tall was your dad?
About 5'4".
Oh.
And his tall brother, I think, was about 5'6".
Oh.
So but they were just all little people.
So she had twins. Did they live?
The biggest baby she had was one of the twins, and it was 8 pounds.
You're kidding!
And then the other one was kind of positioned wrong. She was, I don't know what she weighed, but she was quite a bit smaller than 8 pounds.
And did they both live?
Yes. Until they were 7. And then they never did really know what happened, but all of a sudden Wilma got a high fever. And we didn't have a phone, but the neighbor lady did. And they called the doctor, and he said to put her in the bathtub, you know, hot water and then cold water and shock her. And I can, in my mind, I can still see that. I was 4. And she died, and they thought it could have been a blood clot on the brain.
Oh.
But why it happened, they don't
and
know.
She was 7?
She was 7. And her twin sister, well, Mama, her dying day, really, she would, tears would come to her eyes when she'd talk about it, but it wasn't about the one that died, it was the one that lived. She just crawled into a shell. She wouldn't play with the other kids. They weren't identical twins, but Wilma was the one that died, and she kind of mothered Wilena. And yet a boy picked on Wilena or Wilma one time, and Wilena gave him a bloody nose. She hit him. Leave my sister alone.
And Wilma was the big baby.
Uh-huh.
She was the big one that died.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And Wilena lived. She died when she was 45. And it was the strangest thing. We were back there in Illinois when she went for her funeral. We weren't there when she died. And my brother-in-law said, well, they'd found out that Wilena had died of a cerebral hemorrhage. And at first I thought, ooh, that's the very same thing that Wilma had died of all those years ago, but it was just the opposite. One of them was a clot and one was a hemorrhage.
Oh. Hmm. And did she grow up to be okay?
Well, she had problems. She had all kinds of health problems. And, oh, she had several operations. And I always said, well, and she could get very, very mad very fast, but then she would get, you know, it didn't last long either. But I always thought if she talked to a psychiatrist, they'd say that was why.
Her
sister's death. Uh-huh. And yet, in her later years, she did. And that's what the guy did tell her, and it made her mad. That wasn't it at all. But I feel like it affected her whole life.
Did she tell you that?
No. No. Well, I don't know. I think that that's how I had it figured out.
Oh.
As a kid, and just watching her grow up. She had cancer, and but that it was this cerebral hemorrhage.
Did she have a family? Did she get married?
She was married and had one adopted boy.
Huh.
Her name was Wilena, but they called her Willie all the time. And
I'm
her
adopted.
Yeah.
Just almost.
But I hadn't heard from Wilena's son for years, and I knew he was in Florida, is it Gainesville? I think so, and I had a class reunion, there was a guy from Gainesville, so I told him to look in his telephone book and see if they could find his name, and they did, and he did call me.
Oh,
but, you know, he knew his mother as Willie. He did not know her name was Wilena.
Really?
He did not know it. Well, he was, I think, 15 when she died, and she had been sickly for a long time. there were some things. He said, well, now, did she have a twin sister? You know, they just...
kind of cut ties.
Well, when she died, he lived back there in the community. His dad had, what, 11 brothers and 2 sisters in a big family. They did come out about once a year.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh, clear out here. But then when she died, I would hear from an aunt of his once in a while, and she'd catch me up on him a little bit.
So did she meet her husband here and move out there?
She was living down at Roseburg, Oregon, and he was in the service.
Oh.
And she met him here.
It's funny how people spread out.
It is. Well, and she lived at Oregon, Illinois.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and their last name was Helly, which is a different name. And one time I tried calling, I didn't have her number, and I wanted them to speak to Mrs. Earl Helly at Oregon, Illinois, and that really flubbed off there. Well, yeah, she did get through, but it was just kind of, their name was spelled Helle, but my sister said people would try to be polite about it and call her Mrs. Healy.
Oh.
You know, it was just plain hell.
So I'm wondering about how your mother fared after having twins, and one was that big and she was so little. How'd she manage?
She was in bed for 3 or 4 months, and she had what they called milk leg. And they did say she'd never walk again, but she did after the 3 or 4 months.
What's milk leg?
Cows on that side, as I think. Once in a while, you'll have a cow that will have basically the same thing, and they.
Well, I know what mastitis is.
Well, and then in the severe case, they get down and they can't get up, the cow. And if they just stay there, well, we had one that Alan put a sling under and the tractor and pulled her up. And I think she eventually died.
Mm-hmm.
But,
but your mom recovered.
She did recover.
She had children after that?
She had me.
And you?
Oh, yeah. Well, really, the summer that Wilma died in July, and Mama had another baby girl, on Halloween. And Edith was premature by several weeks, and she lived 3 weeks, and she died the same year that Wilma died.
Oh.
And then in the winter sometime, my grandpa died.
Oh.
And I wondered, it was my father's father. But I always wondered how my mother made it through that time. I had to grow up to realize it all happened in her, you know, so close together.
Mm-hmm. Well, but then there weren't any more kids until you came like 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, and then Alta was born after me. My parents had 6 daughters.
Oh.
And then the 2 of them died as children. They raised the 4.
Mm-hmm. So, was your mom sad, or was she recovered and was okay?
Well, I think so. My mother was not like me. She was a very quiet lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she more or less spoke when spoken to.
Oh.
And, she was a quiet, dignified little lady, and she worked hard. See, she had, like, they raised the 4 girls, and my mother, when I was married, bought me my first button dress. It was just a dress. It wasn't a dress I was married in, but she made all our clothes. And when I got...
Well,
she'd had to, and I was so small, I couldn't wear hand-me-downs. I don't ever remember a hand-me-down dress of any sort.
Really?
And when I was... Well, I made my first dress at age 9.
Oh,
And I don't remember if I kept doing it, but in high school I babysat and made my clothes. I bought a coat. I babysat for 35 cents in the evening and bought a lot of fabric with that.
Did you make a coat? Or?
No, I bought the coat then.
So when did you start doing that?
I made my first dress at age 9. And I don't know if I kept making very many dresses after that or waited till I got into home economics in high school. I don't remember.
Did you remember your mom teaching you about it?
Not really. It just, I always sewed. It seemed like. And my sisters all sewed, but not like I did.
Mm-hmm.
I made all my clothes my daughter, I bought her first Christmas dress is all I ever bought her. I guess I haven't bought her any others, but even after she was married, why, I'd make her an outfit for her birthday and for Christmas every year. And one year I told my husband, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to sew. And he said, poor little Gail, first time her mama didn't make her any clothes. So, of course, I made her something. She sews a lot too.
One thing I'm interested in is, what do you think about the difference between the way women thought about things when you were young and the way women are now? I mean, like, how have things changed for women? Do you think it's good or bad or both? Or?
Well, I've never ever, women live, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I am shocked a lot of times, you know, watching movies on TV, which probably aren't the main thing, but I am really shocked more and more as I get older on what little rights women did have in there. And I've been kind of surprised at it because my husband treated me like a lady. I went out the door first and he opened the car doors and I liked being treated like a lady.
Yeah.
And yet you find out that they weren't always, and it just, well, stop and think. I don't know when they first got their vote, but it's not very too far away from my lifetime.
Well, it was like 22 or something.
I was born in 23, so I was probably too young, but to me that was idiotic. Why didn't a woman vote?
I know, it just seems really odd, doesn't it? I mean, we just wouldn't put up with that. There's no way.
Well, I grew up, I suppose, knowing all that, but I haven't really thought about it till the last few years. It just really gets my goat.
Like, women didn't own property, I don't think.
Well, and when my husband died, which was in 1988, I got taken advantage of, really, money-wise.
You did?
Oh, I'm sure I did. I wasn't as ignorant as a lot of people. I have friends that say, I didn't even know how to write a check. Well, I knew a lot of that, and we were having money troubles when he died, and we owed a lot of people, and it was me. I was the one that had to pay it back. Well, and we were, when you get into money troubles, the first thing they tell you is don't pay your taxes. You can let that go for 3 years. So we were 3 years behind, and you'd always pay the last taxes. Well, that year I went into the tax people, and I said, what do I do? Well, you know, they didn't sit me down and really tell me the facts of life. And so I finally just paid the year before taxes. And I don't know how, and it was, $4,000-$6,000 in taxes on the ranch. And it was only, I don't know how many years, three or four, it wasn't very many years. $5,000 in taxes. That's how your interest kept going up. Interest kept going up. Well, I probably could have found the money somehow that first year.
Yeah.
And see, so, and for, I don't know how many years, three or four, why I kept paying the last year's taxes. And here was this interest going up that fast.
And,
well, my aunt died, and I got $12,000, and I paid it all on taxes.
Oh.
So that should have been fun money.
It should have been, yeah.
But then I had, Alan had taken his income tax to Pendleton. And I think he paid about $800 to get his income tax done it every year. And so that year Alan died, it was $1,600 to me. And I thought, well, maybe there were extra things. Well, there were extra things. And I didn't think too much about it until next year it was $1,800.
So they were too big.
I felt like they were, and I don't blame the company. I kind of blame the man that was doing it. And he'd say to me, there were things about, oh, what are they, oh, when you have hired people, you have to turn in. And he'd say, oh, do you want us to do that? And I'd say, well, yes. Well, of course they charged me for it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have just, well, I did it, so I did it my own, myself, but I didn't like doing it, but I did it. But I, just that way, and with this income tax thing, I finally went to H&R Block. Well, I went around asking people, what can I do? I went to several different. I was hiring my son, and I was paying that he had insurance on himself, and but yet I was having to pay insurance on him too because he was a hired man. I can't think what it, what is it, the compensation.
Oh yeah.
And so I was paying too, and I was asking everybody, what can I do? And I went to, and they didn't know, and I went to HR Block, and she says, well, you don't have to pay him a third. You know, that's what I thought. You can pay him as little as you want. And she said, but if you rent it to him, then you don't have to pay this compensation. So, see, I'd been paying that for three or four years, too, when things wouldn't have happened. And I don't know, as I felt like after things were explained to me, why I understood it. And but I just think that I lost a lot of money in there.
Yeah, right.
That I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me so mad with the income tax. They could see I didn't have it.
Yeah. They knew exactly what Yeah. Well, you know, I have this idea, kind of, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems like, oh, like when you were young, maybe, or earlier, that there were, like, two classes of men. Like, there were good men and bad men. There were men that treated their wives like ladies and were
mm-hmm.
nice to them and didn't abuse them and stuff. And then there were this undercover kind of, you know, I mean, it's probably still that way in a way. But it just seems like, that you hear about stories of terrible abuse, you know.
Okay.
And it was just taken for, I mean, in some lineages, it's like taken for granted that women get beat up or something. You know, not, I mean, in my family, it was I mean, the men were always really good and everything, but, and they, you know, were good workers and all that stuff. But then, and then now, of course, you hear about
daily
abuse. And that doesn't come out of nothing. It comes out, you know, either heritage or taught or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out of drinking.
You know, though, I didn't ever know people that beat their kids and their wives, and I don't know, that was just storybook type thing.
Did you hear about it or not?
Well, I don't know if I did. I suppose you'd hear your parents talking about it, but I just didn't.
It wasn't part of your life.
It was, no. But I do think in those days that it went on more than anybody knew, and it was just all hushed up, maybe.
Well, I wonder. Like,
in my life.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my life.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm probably, well, about 30 years younger than you are, I guess. You know, I mean, it just, everything was, yeah, I mean, you just didn't talk about stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
I don't think I knew of anyone in school that I would have thought that parents were mean to them. I know there were a lot of kids that you felt didn't have any money.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, you know, it's just curious to me because, like, now, in the world, in our culture right now, is when kids are abused, they act out somehow. They're
mm-hmm.
druggies or they're mean or something. Yeah, or they're in gangs or
mm-hmm.
something, you know.
I guess maybe in my day you didn't have television and we did go to movies on Saturday for a nickel a piece. Under 12, but it wasn't just talked about because I think maybe no television, we just have a radio.
Well,
and I don't remember hearing things like that on.
There had to be.
Yeah, and you knew that girls were having babies and they'd go off to visit an aunt for a while.
But were there girls, like, now if you look at the school population and you see girls that were having troubles, not pregnant necessarily, but just something,
mm-hmm.
they weren't happy children, or not happy children, say. And you would, I mean, I would anyway, say, well, what happened to them, you know, or
mm-hmm.
what. So would you have kids like that, or were, I mean, when I was growing up, it was like, everybody went to church. Everybody was, we were good. You know, everybody was sort of good. And there were a few bad boys that sat in the back, maybe one or two at the very most bad boys in the back of the classroom.
Well, I think there was that in my class, too, but I always thought of them, they didn't have money.
Right.
And
well,
I didn't
have money.
Yeah. When I was in the first grade, I lived at Huntington, and I can remember this one little boy. I always thought he was a mean, you know, bully. He used to chase me home every now and then.
Oh, yeah?
But then, heck, that's all I ever remember. I don't remember if he had fights with other boys or just what. You know,
right.
First graders, cute little kids. But, you know, I don't know what he grew up to be, though, either.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just curious about, was it just all under, there just didn't seem to be as many problems with children.
I just don't think there were. Of course, if they had drugs, heaven forbid, you never ever heard anything like that.
No.
When we lived in Huntington, I was first grade, and Elena was fourth, and Bethel was in the sixth grade. She was an older one. And I remember that the impression you got that was Huntington was a tough little town. And these
down on the river?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And my mother had an Easter party there, and these kids, the older ones, my older sister's age, they were used to dances and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama had this party, and she had kids my age come at a certain time early.
Mm-hmm.
And you played my age games.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had my other sister, and they played. And those kids, those Huntington people, the older ones, told her they'd never had so much fun, you know, that it was really
neat.
Uh-huh, and that's the only party I ever remember my mother doing.
But you mean, now I'm not quite clear on this. There was like, Bethel was in the sixth grade. But they didn't have drinking parties.
I think they did. Now that's a child's
deal. Not your
sister, though. No.
But the kids.
The kids themselves. And
the school, they had drinking parties?
Well, that was what I thought. Well, you knew that they were a wild bunch. And so what else is a wild bunch?
Oh, yeah. Was it like railroad
kids? I think it was basically a railroad town.
We're talking Huntington on the Columbia.
Huntington. River. Well, not the Columbia, the Snake up there. Out of Baker.
Oh.
Way back in the boondocks.
Oh, off the highway.
Uh-huh. You don't, the highway used to go through Huntington.
Oh, it did? Oh, and so... like, how big of a town? 2,000 or 3,000? Maybe not that many, maybe.
Very small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could walk all over the place. It wasn't nearly as big as Le Grand.
But like, there were shacks and stuff. Did people live in shacks?
If they did, I didn't see them.
Oh, well.
You know.
You would have, if it was a small town. Like, where I grew up was in Seattle and Ballard. And down over the hill, there were poor people who lived down by the water, and they lived kind of in shacks, and they had mice and stuff.
No, I didn't ever see anything like that. That table in there, and the chairs, the chairs, when I went to redo them, they said Huntington on them, so my folks must have bought them when they lived there in Huntington. I was just 6 years old.
Huh.
So they laughed.
So when your mom had this party, she had three different ages.
And they weren't all together. When my age kids went home and the others came. And
But then she didn't have an adult party.
No.
Afterwards, just the kids.
Just the kids.
It must have been a lot.
These older kids had said the games she had were so much fun, and what they had played, what, at post office? You ever heard of that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That was the kind of games those kids were used to doing.
Wow.
And I can't remember. Well, for my age group, Mama had you have some paper and you tore out an Easter egg. Well, then the next year, kids, they maybe were supposed to do an Easter bunny.
Oh.
I don't know what the other one would have been, but that's the kind of things they did. And then one game I can remember, she put pans and different things on the floor, and at the end was an egg.
Uh-huh.
And you took the person, and they stepped over these. You know, there's a roaster, so you take a big step, and then ooh, the egg. So then they blindfolded them. Well, while they were blindfolding them, you pick up all these pots and pans and the egg. and they stepped over it, and they thought that was that was fun.
Well, that's another that must have been kind of a big deal for your mom to give
it. I think it was. I think that the whole idea was to show those older kids that there was other ways to do things.
Right. So, do you remember being in school there?
Well, I remember some of the kids there, and I used to remember their names, and then through the years, two or three of those kids ended up in school here in Le Grand.
Oh, they did.
Their father evidently got transferred back here to Le Grand. And
well, did mother do things like that normally?
I don't know. I don't remember going to somebody else's party while we were there.
Yeah. that reminds me, last night on television there's a new summer show called The Hamptons. Did you see it?
I guess not.
Well, it's where the rich people go in New York or something. And it's like a live thing, like rich people. And they had a birthday party for little kids, and of course they were just darling. You know, these beautiful little rich kids with their little kids doing little things like that, little deals. But you kind of think, or I do anyway, that, you know, fussing over children in that way is kind of a relatively new thing. And that people didn't do that, but they have parties for children, kind of. So that must have been...
I didn't have fancy clothes, but I think us kids were one of the better dressed in Huntington. Uh-huh. And, of course, Mama made all the clothes.
Uh-huh.
But, and Daddy had a job then, you know, working for the railroad. And, and I looked through pictures, and Mama, it looked like every year maybe, she took us down to the photography thing and took pictures of us kids. And we had, and we'd have little black slippers on and whatnot, and they stopped when Daddy got laid off the railroad. And I don't think she ever did get back to that.
Right. Well,
that. So I think in Huntington, a lot of the kids, maybe their fathers didn't work for the railroad because I've got a picture of it, and that's what I keep thinking of. This little
a picture of what?
The first grade.
Oh.
They were first and second grade, and this little boy that would chase me home, that I thought was a big boy. I think he had holes in his pants. Well, for holes used to be disgrace, you know.
Yeah, of course.
My father-in-law always said people with money were the only ones that could afford to wear holes.
Right. Now?
Well, years ago.
Really?
Well, I mean, when I was early married, probably.
Oh. You mean it was the fashion?
Well, no, it wasn't. But to me, a hole meant you had no money to buy new.
Right.
And
well, you know, people, now the fashion has those kind of raggy clothes and stuff. You can buy them that way. Well, you gotta think of something new to do.
And that's going pretty hard.
Well, this is almost over too. Well, now your mom grew up in Somerville, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I got that right. And she was probably poor, wasn't she?
Well, I don't know. On farms, you don't think of yourself as poor because you got gardens and milk
got
and
food,
chickens and
that.
She had one older brother and two younger brothers, and so she was a tomboy. And here's my kind of petite, quiet little mother and talking about lying down on a sled on the roof of the barn. And
oh, yeah.
And she was out there with those brothers doing everything they did, I guess, which I cannot picture my mother doing.
Really?
No.
Did she change kind of?
Well, it might have been when she had the twins and couldn't, you know, get around. I don't know, but I kind of thought it might.
Was she delicate? I mean,
well, when it came to work and canning fruit and all that, she worked pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, I lived on a farm for 58 years until 2 years ago. You go to work at a church, you do a dinner, and
right.
And you just work. And with her, she could never have done a bunch of stuff like that I did.
Because she was?
Well, she just couldn't have done, and yet she lived at the bottom of 8th Street Hill, which is a college hill,
mm-hmm.
And she would walk the Safeway.
Oh.
And sometimes I'd be at her house, and she'd say, well, why don't you take me down to Safeway, and I'll walk back. And I'd say, well, then she had let me put a sign on her back saying her daughter would have taken her home. But she wanted to walk, so I felt like I wanted people to know that I would have done it for her.
So now just gonna have to change this again.